Did Martin Luther's political writings lead to the freedom of conscience, the separation of church and state, and German totalitarianism? Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Divine Kingdom, Holy Order by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Divine Kingdom, Holy Order, The Political Writings of Martin Luther.
This is the reality of it, is there's a lot of different subcultures within our country. And one of the subcultures in the Deep South is the church family. So even though a person may come to the realization that they're an atheist and they move away from any beliefs in superstition, that doesn't mean that they're not nostalgic for the church family or for the church environment. So we're able to duplicate that minus all the superstition.
That's atheist pastor Jerry DeWitt in Louisiana. He has one of several new atheist churches, secular churches, that have church, a church community, church family, but no belief in what they call the superstition of God. Joining us to talk about a church of atheists, Craig Hawkins, founder and president of Apologetics Information Ministry and a former co-host of the Bible Answer Man radio show. Craig, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks. Pleasure to be with you again.
We've only got about a minute here or so before we take our break, and we'll pick it up on the other side. Before we get there, very quickly, is the term atheist church an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms?
Well, the term church is an oxymoron because, of course, that really refers to the body of Christ. But that it's religious is not an oxymoron. People have long been saying that atheism is itself a religious or an ultimate metaphysical perspective. And so I'm glad to see they're using the title in one sense. At least it shows the religious nature of their beliefs.
So when you say atheism is religious in nature, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, even as courts have ruled that it is a religion, it is religious or secular humanism because it has an ultimate commitment. It has an ultimate belief about reality, what the meaning of life or lack thereof, and about God or God's lack of existence. And so you're, Todd, ironically, you're still talking religion. Even if you deny God's existence, that's still a religious perspective from my viewpoint. And a number of books have actually written on that lately have pointed that out, and I think rightly so.
Craig Hawkins is our guest. When we come back, we're going to talk more about a church for atheists, much in the news. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 23rd. We're coming to you live, and you can join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email. We'll get them right here in real time in the studio. Talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at Issues ETC. Craig Hawkins is founder and president of Apologetics Information Ministry and former co-host of the Bible Answer Man radio program. About 10 minutes with him, and then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We're going to talk about an attempt in San Diego County by the clerk there to defend Prop 8 to keep gay marriage from being practiced in San Diego County. And we'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute has to say coming up in about 50 minutes here on Issues Etc.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 23rd. We're talking about A Church for Atheists. Craig Hawkins of Apologetics Information Ministry is our guest. Craig, let's talk about some of the commitments that we find among ardent atheists. I mean, the obvious one seems to be in the non-existence of God. But how would you describe the other commitments, religious commitments or religiously toned commitments that atheists often hold to?
Well, Todd, that's exactly it. Atheists can check the existence of God, and there's different types, by the way. There's what's called hard atheism and soft, and that doesn't mean whether they're mean-spirited or not. Hard means they really think you can actually prove God literally does not exist. Soft atheism, by the way, says, well, there's no evidence or no definitive evidence, therefore one should not believe in God. Those two, are still opposed to agnosticism. But here's the problem. As Dostoevsky and others have pointed out, when there is no God, everything's possible. But there's no basis for ethics, meaning, significance, purpose of life, fulfillment. We as Christians believe we're made in God's image. We're made for fellowship with God and relationship with Him and with other human beings. And even, I think Calvin got this one right, unless we're rightly situated with God, we cannot be rightly situated with one another or ourselves. And so the atheist has this problem of still, why am I here? And yes, they punt to materialism and an evolutionary worldview, but at the end of the day, as Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in Him, and there's still this void and this emptiness and sense of looking for meaning and purpose. So they still have to grapple with these issues. And therefore, that's why I see this Jerry DeWitt. I see him. He's lacking something. He's missing something. He has ruled out God. Given his background, I think there's a lot of problems with his reasoning, or lack thereof, I should say. But he still, there's this hunger, sense of belonging, identity. We are by nature religious beings, and we will either have relationship and fellowship with the true God, or we will manufacture our own idol to put in God's place. We'll make God in our image, or however that may be, to try to fulfill that empty place in our lives, that God-shaped void.
Does the thoroughgoing atheist have to, not just the casual atheist who hasn't really thought it through, but the thoroughgoing atheist, does he have to have a commitment to what you mentioned before, that materialistic worldview? That is, that essentially there is no objective transcendent truth. There is only the material world.
Well, that's exactly it. If you read people like Michael Martin and others who are definitely would be of the, what's called the hard atheist type and have written extensively and thought this through, that's exactly it. There is no other place for them. The world, the universe is cold. It is unfriendly, and you simply have to just live life and face the brutal reality of life as it is. And again, I think the thing to watch with for them is them trying to do ethics and justify being good or being moral, and the other issues, again, meaning, purpose, significance. Interestingly, I was talking with a friend who's a missionary in China, working over in China, and he talked about how in China there's actually, on the whole, a radical openness to the idea of talking about God, among the people at least, and here's why, Todd, because they realize they have no compelling reason for anybody to be good other than not getting in trouble with the powers that be, you know, getting jail time or what have you. But other than that, there's no incentive to be ethical, to do good and do right. And so they're open to talking about God and Christianity because they realize that that gives one a basis for being moral. Now, I don't want to talk mere moralism here. You know, that's not where I'm going. But what I'm saying is one can deny God, and then one has to live in the vacuum of his non-existence, and it's a brutal existence. Indeed, by the way, quickly, Chris Hedges has written a book called When Atheism Becomes Religion, and I think that's exactly it. And that's what we're seeing with this robust, you know, rabid on roids type of atheism of Sam Harris and, you know, Christopher Hitchens and others that they have created. There just is no meaning, no purpose. And so they spend a lot of their time attacking, trying to tear down those who do believe in God.
See, that's what I wonder about, because, I mean, it's been famously said by someone, you know, I don't believe in unicorns, but I don't write papers on the non-existence of unicorns or books or hold society meetings to discuss how unicorns don't exist. It seems as though atheists have something to prove to others, perhaps to themselves.
Well, yeah, and I use example, my favorite one, I started to use it, was Harvey the Rabbit. I don't believe in Harvey the Rabbit, but I don't spend my life trying to debunk him either. And, of course, what they'll say is, well, Richard Dawkins and others, well, this is insanity. This is a form of mental illness, of radical irrationality, and so it must be stamped out in the name of science. That is their fallback position. But I would argue, as I think you're implying there, is that there's more here. It's that the atheist can't just deal with the non-existence of God. They got to pound him in the ground. Think of the idea of God. Think of Romans 1:17-18, right? The non-Christian suppresses the idea in the Greek text there is they are holding down, they are pushing down, they are literally standing on the idea of the concept of God and suppressing it. The biblical idea is they know God exists, they're made in his image, in the Imago Dei. They have a sense of God's existence, is part of what it means to be human, and therefore they have to suppress it. And the more thoughtful an individual, the more I believe that this, like a proverbial line from a famous movie, is like a splinter in their brain that they just can't leave alone. They got to keep playing with to try to, I'll mix my metaphors here, assuage their conscience and get rid of this cognitive dissonance that they have, that their avowed belief that there is no God.
So do you think that at the heart of it, this is that the atheist's apologetic is really to God himself. They are arguing against God to God, not just to us.
Well, I'll use this example. There was a famous philosopher named Sidney Hook, taught at New York University for years in the philosophy and religion department, and one of my mentors, the late Walter Martin, studied under him, and Martin asked him one time, he said, you know, Sidney, what would happen if you wake up after you die and you're in the presence of God? What are you going to say to him? And he said, basically, without batting an eyelash or taking a breath, I would tell him I had good reasons to not believe in his existence. And the ludicrousness of that, it's like, assuredly, you were wrong. And so I think it is that. I think it is. I think they're literally hell-bent that they must try to prove that to everyone that God does not exist. And I think they're really they are addressing it to God, and they're really talking out loud. They're addressing it to themselves. They are trying to convince themselves there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. You know, it reminds me of what's the goofy movie, The Yellow Brick Road or whatever, The Wizard of Oz, where, you know, I wish I were home, I wish I were home, I wish I were home. To me, it's the classic turning Ludwig Feuerbacher on his head. It's wish fulfillment. In this case, they're wishing and hoping and praying that God doesn't exist in light of the stark reality of his existence. As people like famous physicists, astrophysicists, and others, for example, in the Anthropic Principle, have come to that conclusion that the life doesn't make any sense. There's the biblical argument, to be sure, life experience, and then there are an incredible number of philosophers, thinkers, astronomers, astrologists, contrary to Hawking and others, who say, you know, the evidence for God is inescapable, internally and externally. And of course, we would argue ultimately the definitive record of God is Jesus Christ himself and his incarnation, his perfect life, death, burial, and resurrection.
How do you respond briefly to the critique offered in the news story that many are following on Pastor Jerry DeWitt in Louisiana with his atheist church, where in the media he is routinely offering kind of the one-word critique of Christianity, his former faith, by the way, superstition.
Well, and that's the official line in China, by the way, and others, superstition. And what he says there unabashedly, he found no evidence for God's existence. And I would argue the evidence is all around you. But if you're not willing to attend to it, if your eyes are blinded, if let me put it this way. If we're detectives and we go into a house and all the evidence points that the butler killed the owner of the manor, but for some reason you and I are just convinced that whoever did it, it couldn't have been the butler for personal reasons, familial ties, you know, likability, what have you. It doesn't matter what the evidence speaks of. We will never see it pointing to the butler until we change our presuppositions. And that's the issue, I believe, here is there is a blindness spiritually and intellectually to the overwhelming evidence. And all he does is basically, with all due respect, mouth his own personal convictions. He didn't see evidence for God. Therefore, he says, I can't say he absolutely doesn't exist, but I'm going to live like he doesn't. And that's pretty sad.
With only a minute here, does it say something of atheism that it still seeks community, even around its kind of hollow belief?
Absolutely. We're made for fellowship again with God and with one another. And there's a sense of longing, a sense of identity they're looking for. There's that longing to be home. There is, as C.S. Lewis and others pointed out, this idea, even fairy stories, the idea to be reunited, in this case, ultimately with our Heavenly Father. So I think it speaks volumes of the needs they still have. They can try to silence them. They can shout. They can say they don't exist. But their life, in fact, what he's doing speaks volume to the needs that he still has, and which he's, I would argue, unfortunately blinded himself to the overwhelming evidence for the existence and reality of God.
Craig Hawkins is founder and president of Apologetics Information Ministry, former co-host of the Bible Answer Man radio show. You can find out more about Apologetics Information Ministry at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Craig, thanks for your time.
Todd, my pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate the job you're doing.
When we come back, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is going to join us of the Ruth Institute. We're going to talk about an attempt, a valiant and probably, futile attempt by the San Diego County Clerk to defend Prop 8. It was the law in California defining marriage as one man and one woman. It went through the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said that the lower courts were right in saying that the people cannot vote that way. Well, the county clerk in San Diego says he's going to try to uphold it. We'll find out what Jennifer thinks about that after this.
The theme of the scriptures is the promise of Christ and the coming of Christ and the meaning of that. And you can lose that in pietism.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio show, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The common emphasis is the emphasis on sanctification. Sounds good, biblical, it is. But you get the emphasis on the wrong syllable, and we'll lose our own children.
You can listen to Dr. Rosenblatt's presentation, Making the Case Against Pietism, and all of our presentations from this year's conference on our new audio DVD. For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo on our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina, St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota, St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.